The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Welcome, welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now live on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. I want to thank Oisin Kelly for sitting in with me last week. I was away in sunny France getting a nice tan. All right, Kevin Fury's here tonight. The man that's been doing everything today. He's been producing and recording and doing the power hour as ever. Well done, Kevin. Keep me right here. Michaela, thank you for the news there. Yeah, sunny France. Oui, la piscine. How's your French, Kevin? Not good. So-so. You're a man of many talents. If you started speaking French now, I wouldn't be surprised. I say thanks for producing the show this evening. I got back for what was billed as a huge weekend of Gaelic football, of course, in our quarterfinals. Didn't really hit the heights, if we're being honest. No fault, I suppose, to Dublin and Kerry. They actually brilliant performances, but on Derry and Monaghan, both coming through as well. Later in the show, we're going to hear from former Dublin legend, now top RTE pundit, Kieran Whelan, and also former Derry sharpshooter, and of course, a great pundit and a great coach as well, Conley Gilligan. They're going to wrap up the weekend's games. But first, there is a team still flying the flag for Donegal. It's the Donegal Ladies. They had an unbelievable one against the reigning Ireland champions at the weekend meet, setting up a quarterfinal, home quarterfinal with Dublin. So exciting times for Donegal. We're going to hear from Maureen O'Donnell shortly. She's going to give us her take on where Donegal are at and their chances of beating Dublin and progressing to a semi-final. Something that didn't seem likely at the end of the league, but Maxi Kernan and his group there, his backroom team and his squad have somehow pulled all that together and are back right up at the pinnacle of football again. Well done to them. As I say, we'll hear from Mo, but first of all, we'll hear from the man himself, Maxi Kern, after a side's victory.
Maxi, I say relieved at the final whistle there. Good win.
Yeah, mate, I'm relieved. A good win, surely. You know, it was touch and go there. Meath had all the momentum in the second half, and you know, I think they were in the real good position. But look, it turned out to be a bit of a purple patch for them, and we managed to steady the ship after that and kind of withstand them, and we got up the field and we got a great score at the end to put us two up, and we conceded another one. But thankfully, that free by Karen was enough to get us over the line.
Both teams through to the quarterfinals, but they weren't playing like that. But it was as if the losers were going out.
Yeah, well, look, I think that's the beauty of ladies football, to be honest. You know, I don't think they know anything else only than full steam ahead. There's no wild tactics. There's no ability to hold back or be in any way careful or smart like that. They just have to go for it. And look, there was a massive prize, you know, for the team that won tonight to stop the group and get a home quarterfinal. You're right. It was. There was also a cushion if you lost, but it wasn't about that. You know, we've had our issues with Meath in the last couple of years, and you know, we've come up short any day we played them, especially on the big occasion. So to be able to come up here today and match them step for step and get over the line, it's a great night for the girls, and fair play to them.
The first half goal coming after 8 minutes, your first score of the game, was all important in the end, really, because you were struggling a little bit in the first 10 minutes or so to get your hands on the ball, but the goal really a huge boost.
Yeah, a huge boost. Look, goals win games. You know, you often hear that, and especially when with football being so defensive nowadays, goals are massive, massive scores. And defending the way we did, you know, if you're, you know, that's the big goal, is to not concede any goals. And when you defend like that and you keep the opposition to, you know, 10, 11 points, it's, you know, your job's a lot easier when you don't concede goals. So, yeah, look, that was a big thing for us to get a goal. You know, all credit to Niamh. Look, I think she kicked 1-3 and totally she was brilliant. She could play the game, and, you know, she's a real, having a bit of what I call an Indian somewhere out there, you know, at the minute. So, but yeah, look, but all heard the girls, it was a massive defensive shift in the end to keep Meath out, because as you said, they had all the momentum, and look, we rode our luck a bit as well. You gotta acknowledge that, and but look, thankfully we're still standing anyway.
Dublin now in the quarter final. You did surprise them before.
Yeah. Look, we have a brilliant rivalry with Dublin. You know, I think we've probably beaten them as much as anybody over the last couple of years, and you can be rest assured Mick is sitting back licking his lips at the thought of coming to Donegal. You know, he'll feel that he owes us one, and they give us a bit of a trimming in this year's National League. So, but look, we haven't even thought about that. We're just so delighted to get out of here tonight, and you know, it's been a real roller coaster of a year and a bit of a fairy tale for these girls. You know, they're from extreme lows to great highs, won an Ulster Championship, and you know, and then to win the two group games now has also been brilliant for us. And as I say, look, we've such a young group and so much inexperience there, and young girls 16, 17 years of age, and other girls in their first year in the squad and playing, and you know, and really going toe to toe with some of the biggest household names in the country, the likes of the Vicky Walls and Emma Dugans. And to be able to do that is a huge testament to them. You know, it's not easy to step in at this, because this is the deep end, this is as high as it gets for those girls in their sport, and to be able to do that in their first year is brilliant, and it's a testament to them and their families and their clubs. And look, we're still standing, and we look forward to Dublin coming out in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, they're still standing. Well done, Maxie. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by former Donegal sharpshooter and, well, a woman that's played maybe everywhere in the park and could play anywhere, Maureen O'Donnell. Maureen, how are you?
Good, Brendan. How are you getting on?
Maureen, I'm the best now. Maureen, Maxie just said there it's been a roller coaster of a season. Myself and yourself went up and covered the game in Armagh, Lifford. I just can't see. Now, obviously, yes, some of the cavalry come back, but you would have thought at that stage it's going to be a difficult championship for Donegal. They've steadied the ship, and that was a fantastic victory, you know, away from home against the reigning All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, you know, and Donegal have really come from strength to strength. You know, you talked about that game up in Lifford against Armagh, and you know, people looking on, and maybe people looking on from the National League would have the perspective that, you know, where have these victories coming from? But they've been steadily building, you know, and as you say, with the regrouping of some of the more experienced players back into the panel, even though it was late on, Brendan, it has really added strength and depth to the Donegal side, and it has given, you know, a boost to the younger players, as Maxie mentioned. Like, it takes a while for any team, you know, in transition to sort of settle themselves and steady the ship, and this is sort of what's been going on. And perhaps, you know, the Division 1 league platform was just a platform for playing those players, finding out what kind of the best positional strategies to have with these players, where to play them. Like, for example, Abigail Temple Osoko has come on. She's 17 years old. I don't like to highlight any players, but she was playing out in the wing at wing half back, and really not really having her position at that stage. She's moved now, shifted into full back, where I find her, she's very settled and she's able to attack going forward. And you know, I think that Maxie, you know, that he's best to use the Division 1 the league as a platform for finding out where the best positions for these players and maybe the team going forward, and then players coming back into it. Like, you know, you had Tanya Kennedy come back in for a while there. You've Geraldine back there now at the minute. Katie Hearn came back. You have a super new addition to the team in Claire Frail in goals, and those have done nothing. But so from the perspective of looking at the league, and we don't like to look at the league, but you do sort of pick up their form and look at their form in the league, and you would think from the league campaign that they wouldn't have a chance, but really they've been putting in some stellar and superb performances since the league, and obviously with the victory, an Ulster title, the first one in 3 years, and then that huge performance last week against Meath when they really needed to prove themselves, they did it, Brendan, and you see that's the calibre of Donegal. They can produce these victories when they want to.
Yeah, and would it be Donegal or what would you think, Mo, that this is the season where it could be the breakthrough, when it looked like that time had gone for that team because of, you know, some of the players you mentioned coming back there, they're not just some of the best players in Donegal, some of the best in Ireland in terms of footballers. You know, this season, I suppose, could have scarred those younger girls in terms of the, you know, being thrown in, thrust to the championship, you know, very settled, powerful teams. They were hammered in a few games, Mo, but it doesn't seem like it has affected them, and now Donegal are on this upward curve. You know, brilliant performance against Armagh, now against Meath. Is it a matter now that was a dangerous game in terms of Maxie had no other choice, but now it's all coming together?
Yeah, like, you know, again, we talk about the league performance, and like, you know, watching them earlier on the year, like, you would have to say, you know, sort of almost, you know, accept defeatism in a way, because it looked really bad. But, like, you know yourself, and I know, like, football is swings and roundabouts, and there's ups and downs, and a team at the top, like, you see the likes of Meath now, All-Ireland champions for 2 years in a row, Division 1 titles under their belt, going really, really well, are having a particularly tough year themselves, you know, they've lost their management system, they're regrouping, like, and every team at the top is a team that teams want to beat, and every day they go out, they're a team that are under pressure to win and to perform to the highest of their abilities, whereas Donegal went out in the league campaign and had probably one of the worst league campaigns that it had in a number of years. And, you know, you've looked at them in league the years before, like the year before in 2022, they beat Dublin in the league semi-final, went on and lost to Meath that year, went to an All-Ireland semi-final. So they were really, really strong. And then they had what I could say is a terrible league campaign. As you say, suffered some heavy defeats throughout the year. And those girls, you know, it really has stood to them. You know, they've taken it on the chin, they've worked through it. And I think, you know, and you say this in every walk in life, when you're at rock bottom, the only way is up. And the only way has been up for Maxie and the girls. And they've really proven that they can step up to the mark, and these younger girls can step up to the mark. And, you know, we talk about experience all the time as well. And experience is a great thing, but when you're in there as a young player, you have no fear, you have no pressure, you're not overthinking the game, you're not thinking as much. You're looking to the players around you and you see them playing well, and you want to play well, you want the people supporting you to be proud of you. So as a younger player, you've got that as an advantage to you over and above going out in any day as well. So, and you know, like, sure enough, we've had two great victories over the last number of, you know, months, and they really will stand that game against Meath next week. But I think Donegal are very steady. What has happened as a result of those two victories, it has instilled a certain amount of, a huge amount of confidence, I should say, Brendan, and the team. And they're very calm and collected. And they're going on the quarter-final against Dublin. It's their fourth consecutive quarter-final appearance against the Dubs, you know. In 2020 and 2021, they lost both games down in Carrick and Shannon. And 2021 there, Emer was injured with, you know, a cruciate that year. And last year they had that, you know, phenomenal one over the Dubs in the quarter final. That came after beating them earlier on that year in the league semi final. So, you know, they've proven that they can beat the Dubs. And this is a team that don't look afraid of anybody, these Donegal girls at the moment, with a mix and a real balance of experience and youth, Brendan. So, you know, I don't know if it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, these victories, and beating Meath last weekend, you know, that's been coming for a while now, and they've now proven that they can beat the All-Ireland champions as well, Brendan.
Yeah, certainly. It's set up well. Mo, listen, just one last question for you, Mo. Obviously, Susan White, you know, had her five frees at the weekend, vital, you know. See, Niamh Haggerty, brilliant again, 1-3. The form she's in is unbelievable. What about your own clubmate, Geraldine? Have you heard, will she make it back for this Dublin match?
Yeah, listen, we're all hoping that. I suppose everybody was eyes on the pitch to see if Geraldine would make an appearance this year at all. And we all know the calibre and the consistency of Geraldine McLaughlin. She's just an asset to have on the field at any time, even when she is sort of not in her best form. But listen, we do hope to see her coming back. I'm probably... assuming that Maxie had her well rested the weekend and had a lot of confidence in the girls he used. I will say that, you know, Maxie has really put in a big shift over the last number of years with the girls, and I'm glad to see it sort of paying off. Like last year, everybody would have said that the championship this year was wide open, and I suppose at the beginning of the year when girls weren't coming back into it, people sort of felt a bit deflated because this could be a year where anything could really happen. Like Meath are sort of, you know, on that wobble, carrier coming through, still a wee bit inexperienced. You know, you have Dublin, who Donegal proved to beat last year, so I thought that this would be a big year. So the more experience we can get on the field, and hopefully Geraldine will get out onto the field. It's great that they had a victory last week without her. It just goes to show the calibre of the depth that's in the panel now at the minute as well, Brendan. So it's great to see, you know, and you know, listen, everybody wants to see Geraldine getting out there, and you know the thing about Geraldine, she's very dangerous for goals, and goals won matches, Brendan. So, you know, listen, we'll live in hope.
We live in hope. She'll be over doing well there. Mo, you'll give her a wee blessing there and she'll get back at it.
I don't need to give her any lessons
there, but that's all right. Mo, listen, thanks very much. We can't wait for this match. Now, fair play to for the girls for pulling this season together. It's phenomenal. Maxie wins All Ireland, and then he gets the senior men's job. You heard it here first, Mo. I'll leave you with that thought. Right, Mo.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, it would be nice to see it too, Brent, because like it's 20 years I don't like to say it since we won the junior, so yeah. It would be nice to see a senior coming under Maxie as well.
Yeah, 100%. Well, fair play to you as ever. Thanks for giving us those words this evening, Mo. I'll talk to you now after this Dublin game, no doubt.
Okay.
Brilliant there, Maureen O'Donnell, as ever. Great to catch up with her. As I said at the top of the show, I spoke with Conley Gilligan and Kieran Whelan, just wrapping up the game's football. Kieran Whelan's up here first. Yes, now I'm joined by former Dublin legend, the midfield powerhouse, Kieran Whelan, of course, top pundit now. That's why he's on the DL debate. We have only the best, and Kieran Whelan is certainly one of them. How are you today, Whelan?
Not too bad, Brent. Not too bad.
The Dubs are back.
I've been listening to you all summer on Woolly's show there, but you have to be on your best behaviour on this one, do you?
Right. Something like that, yeah. There's plenty of slagging. There's plenty of slagging goes on in that show, let me tell you. It's no rules barred.
Absolutely.
The funny thing is, we're even allowed to F and blind a wee bit, but the reality is, you don't really need to do that unless it's a booze story or something that crops up, which I think that's why I'm on the station, actually, is to tell Nod Yarn like that.
You wouldn't have any stories anyway.
Aaron Kiernan's on for the fucking, Aaron Kiernan's on for the real stuff. I'm on for the crack. Aaron is Mr. GA. I think we have a wee bit of both in us, you know. We like our football, but there's a wee bit of banter in there. Kieran, what a weekend, you know. I'm just scratching my head all year at teams and games and who's going to win and where teams in form is at. And listen, you're making a case for a team basically in every game, because anybody can seem to beat anybody, but at the weekend then something very different happened. And tell me, leading into a semi-final too, again, is it wrong to judge teams on this? But surely now Kerry and Dublin have just said, right, this is where it's at.
Yeah, it looks that way, Brian, and it's been one of those years, hasn't it, where it's very topsy-turvy, as you say, and so many games, and obviously teams having dips in forms and rise in forms, and I think it's confused us all along the way, and we probably came into this weekend not really knowing where Dublin and Kerry were at. You don't like to say it in an arrogant way, but it's kind of like when you look at Dublin, I've been looking at Dublin and they've been, you know, distinctly average at times throughout the year, but I don't know whether that was maybe just boredom or lack of motivation, and I mean that kind of in a respectful way, that they just seem to be tipping along, and maybe similar with Kerry. You know, I was down in Kerry when they played Mayo, and it was a terrible performance. Mayo pressed right up on them, made them look distinctly average. It was like the defensive system they had last year was gone. Tadhg Morley was dragged out the field. They were exposed in the back line. And it really leaves you asking questions, I suppose, about the season in whole. And I think one of the key things about this weekend, and I know Monaghan have ditched the trend, but I still think it was extremely difficult for Mayo, for Cork and for Tyrone to come in on the back of 3 weeks in a row. And you just wonder, did we get the best version of those teams this weekend? And that's a question I think we'd be asking ourselves at the end of the year. But from the Dublin and Kerry perspective, they were at the pitch of it. They have timed, looks like they've timed their runs. They both look extremely strong. But particularly, I suppose, it was definitely Dublin in that second half yesterday. It was a very odd game, Brendan, in that at halftime, you know, Dublin are a point up, and you know they're going into the dressing room thinking their full back line is being torn to shreds by Ryan O'Donoghue and Aidan O'Shea and Tommy Conroy. They were in trouble on Reeves' kickouts. Their matchups at the back were going great. Callanan was keeping Mannion quiet. McBride was keeping O'Callaghan quiet. And you know, Mayo, I think Kevin said it after the match, he said, you know, we just wanted to keep doing what we were doing, where Dublin are going into that dressing room saying, lads, get the finger out here, we're not at the pitch of it. And they came out and just blew them away when they were able to up the gears, and they were able to find that fourth or fifth gear. And as I said yesterday, it was like as if it just took 35 minutes just to tune up, and then they hit the right level. So yeah, it's been a crazy few weeks, Brendan, but Dublin and Kerry look like they've stepped ahead of everybody, and a few people did say that a few weeks ago that it would still come back down to these two big ones.
Yeah, I suppose, Kieran, because the season changed this year, you're trying to figure out what's the best way to approach the season. I mean, you want to stay in the league, and you worry about your provincials, and then you've got these groups leading into these quarterfinals. So it's an immense juggling act. It's still very hard to realise. You mentioned that Mayo victory over Kerry. The level of performance in that from Kerry at home, like it's a real head scratcher around. Is that a very dangerous thing to drop that low? Not taking anything away from Mayo, but you just look at it in a Croke Park and the setup of the teams now. And you mentioned there the scoring blitz. Really, Derry did it to Cork a bit as well. And of course, definitely Dublin and Kerry, you know, that second half, you know, absolutely annihilated them. Then they play the game on their terms. And you really look at Mayo then, Kieran, in the first half when they played them a couple of balls into O'Donoghue and into O'Shea, they were kick passes, there was room. Once Dublin was down the lead and set, you looked at Mayo, they have no ability to open up a blanket defence, really. You've seen even Roscommon doing a job on them earlier in Connacht as well. So, you know, you're looking at Mayo then, and you see then the imbalance in terms of what the other teams can mix it and can handle that type of a defence. Mayo just can't, and then you feel the energy dropping out of them. And it's a good point about the fatigue as well. Maybe then when they needed a bit of injection of energy, it wasn't there.
Yeah, and I think it's a very valid point, Ben. They've really struggled all year to break down any defensive structure, you know, and they will, you know. I was talking to a couple of people leaving Croke Park yesterday, and they kept going back to the Cork game and being in a position to win that game. And winning that game gives them the extra week. They avoid Dublin in the quarterfinal, and probably they avoid the Galway match to a certain degree, and it gets them maybe in a better shape. And they struggled against Leo, they struggled against Cork, and the reason they thrived against Kerry was Kerry's press was pressed right up on them, and Mayo took risks and got in behind them, and they had the space. And I think one of the aspects where they were very, very good in the league was that the Stephen Rochford, Cara Finn type approach. They love to play that 30-yard pop pass and get a runner on the back of it, or a hand pass even into Aidan O'Shea in a central area and open up defences. And that's what they were doing in the league. That when they're not able to implement that, they look like they were struggling for ideas. And I think, like, Dublin gave them a chance. I actually thought Dublin would be aware of that and would sit in earlier in the first half, you know. And I know Brian Howard was trying to get back there, but they did leave themselves. Dublin gave them the space and gave them that opportunity. But then once Dublin got the second goal and Mannion's bit of craft just to keep that ball in, and maybe a bit of experience on Callan's side, but once Dublin got 6-7 ahead, Dublin were able to sit in then. And not only sit in, you could actually see that Dublin, you could see a psychological switch in the game. Dublin start lapping it up, because there is an underlying rivalry and borderline, and you know that these guys don't like each other. And when Dublin got it on top, they really kept the foot on, and you could see their intensity levels increased, and they were able to sit one back. And I think when that second goal went in, Brennan, Mayo were psychologically damaged and then physically damaged. And I was surprised at the Aidan O'Shea substitution, being honest, because, you know, you're thinking at that stage, we need goals, they need something. And he hadn't been playing that bad, in fairness, in the first half. He'd caught a couple of balls, he'd looked dangerous at times. And you're thinking, if you're bringing on Killian O'Connor and you're hoping that he's going to poach a goal for you, you're hoping that he might get one off Aidan O'Shea or get something in around that. So they really lacked, even when they were chasing the game in that second half, even though Dublin were relentless all over the pitch and took over midfield and put pressure on their kick out, they had no structure up front. And I think that's going to be the big learning part for Mayo going forward in terms of this year. You know, when teams play front football with them, and I suppose, to be honest, maybe teams back in the league in the early stages do try stuff, and they do try push up, and they try different styles of play, and that was to Mayo's benefit maybe earlier on in the year. But when it came to the real crunch time, when teams got bodies back, they really, really struggled to break it down. And that's probably their big learning. And listen, it's not just that, it's the psychological damage again. You know, it must be tough.
Yeah, being there myself. Do you know what? Well, see, this thing about learning with Mayo, though, do you not think there's only one? They have to bite the bullet and go rigid. It's not the type of play anybody really wants to see. Mayo fans certainly don't want it. But if they want to win a crunch game, they got to go. I mean, you look at Kerry and maybe Paddy Talley getting involved in there, and how they were not going to be done by Tyrone. We're going to sit, we're going to turn over you, we're going to tackle aggressively. Until Mayo get that Kieran, listen, they were so close against the greatest team that ever played the game, really, in Dublin, yeah, playing their own way. But I just think now, because teams seem to be getting better and better tactically, until they're willing to go to that level of tactics, they're always going to come up short. Is that not what you would feel?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you look at Dublin, you look at Kerry, probably, who are the two strong favourites now to push forward, and not being disrespectful to Derry or Monaghan, but they're going to be overwhelming favourites, which is a little bit dangerous in some regards. But if you look how they play, you know, and Kerry were relentless against Tyrone in terms of just going man to man and you know, having Tadhg Morley there to shut down the defence, but taking out the key threats, making sure that they're dealing with the Darragh Canavan or the Rory Canavan, the McCurries, taking out the three or four or five key threats on the opposition team and making sure you're man to man with one extra protection. And Dublin are not unlike that. And I think you have to balance that now against maybe the zonal defence. And you look at Armagh and the zonal defence and the energy maybe that's, you know, taken up, or the lack of structure it brings them when they get into their attacking game. And even Derry, from a certain perspective, you know, if you think maybe if Cork had a better forwards yesterday, they might have caused them problems. And, you know, Derry's running game, you know, the fact they don't kick the ball, and it's that movement up and down the field, and it's that zone of defence, it does raise that question mark, you know, are the better teams that are going to win All-Irelands the teams that can actually man up, take out key threats, yeah, stick man to man, and get that bit of extra protection? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think there's, I wonder, I throw that out there, is the game beginning to evolve maybe away from the zonal defence, because is that good enough to win in All-Ireland?
Yeah, I think, you know? And Kieran, it's interesting just to think back to when Tyrone won it a couple of years ago. They basically did that too. They went man for man, allowing a kick pass, yeah, allowing their game to open up from the, yeah, from that zonal that they're playing. That's a great point. Kieran, just finally, if it is, let's just say it is a Kerry Dublin final. I'm just going back to the semi-final. We're doing it. Listen, I won't be hanging you on this, but I was just thinking about listen, I'll not put you on the spot about that, right? That's not unfair. But I'm just saying, last year from the Dublin team come up short against Kerry. You know, Conn was injured, obviously McCaffrey, Cluxton, Mannion, lads are all back. Surely this puts Dublin in an unbelievable position in terms of, say, being the second best team possibly last year. Yeah.
I hope that it does. Now, if it is a Dublin Kerry final, I'm bleeding dreading it from a ticket perspective, Ben, I'm being honest with you. That's already haunting me if that happens. But Dublin, I mentioned it yesterday, you know, that Dublin going into this game were potentially stronger than they were 2 years ago against Mayo in terms of the players they have back. And you know, similarly last year, you know, we remember going into that Kerry game and when Colin Callan was ruined out, we kind of said, no hope. And they still, I suppose, pushed Kerry all the way. Yeah. And if there had been maybe one or two more minutes after Sean O'Shea's kick, you know, you probably would have fancied Dublin might have egged it, got an equaliser. So the kick came at the right time. But yeah, when you look at yesterday, and my biggest question mark was coming yesterday was Dublin's, their legs, their intensity, road tested, was there another push in them, the band was back together? But certainly we got those answers yesterday. And like, when you look at the substitutions, and I think that was another demoralising thing for Mayo, like if Jack McCaffrey coming in, like in 25 minutes to play, if Kieran Kilkenny coming in, you know, big game players. So that made that depth that Dublin, when we looked at the Dublin bench last year, you know, you were kind of going, who's going to come in to really help them get over the line, and lacked a bit of depth. That depth is definitely back. If you've one question mark over them though, is possibly that full back line, that there isn't a whole lot of depth in that full back line. And while Dublin took over in the middle of park yesterday, which allowed the lads to, you know, to control the game in the second half, that still would be a small area of concern in terms of the threat that Kerry or Monaghan or Derry, whoever gets through, will bring. That, you know, when you were looking at halftime yesterday, and like, if Davy Byrne has been carrying injuries and knocks, and you just wonder, is he where he wants to be? Mick Fitz is a warrior and he's been knocking around, you know what I mean, doing very well. But Darren Newcombe played right throughout the year. He's probably the only backup we have, that and Sean McMahon possibly with the full back line. So that would be the only little area of concern you'd have been going forward. But yeah, they're very well positioned now, and we got a lot of answers yesterday to kind of questions that were lingering over them.
Yeah, brilliant, Kieran. Well, listen, if you make it to the final, leave Big Wheelow alone. There's enough things on, leave him alone. get your tickets somewhere else. That's the message now. Wheelow, listen, fair play to you, Wheelow, as ever, lad. I'll catch up with you down the road. Appreciate it, my man.
Take care.
Yeah, Kieran Whelan, thanks very much for that. Wrapping up, particularly Dublin and Kerry there. After the break, we're going to hear from Conley Gilligan and his views, particularly on Derry, Cork, Monaghan, Armagh, going into this semi-final.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Yes, now I'm joined by former Derry sharpshooter, of course a top coach, manager, the whole lot, and of course on top of all that, a man of many talents, a great analyst. That's why he's here this evening, Conleith Gilligan. Great to talk to you on the DL Debate.
And you, Dave, how's things?
All that taking over a wee break to France there, so I'm just catching up on all that. So it'd be great to get your views on where you see the championship at, and particularly our neighbours here and how they've fared, and of course your own men flying the flag, and a game away from an unbelievable experience. It would be another All Ireland final.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's probably been more unusual in recent times that Tyrone come away from Croke Park well beaten and Derry win. But there wouldn't have been too many Derry supporters that sad. But like, in terms of what Derry were at, they weren't at their best. They didn't need to be. Thankfully, they weren't playing one of the top tier teams, so I think they got away with it. And probably going into a semi-final.
Do you know what? Just as you're saying that, you know, as the dust settling on all the weekend's action, the statement that obviously that Dublin and Kerry put out, in many ways Derry, you know, played fairly well against Cork. Quite similar actually to other teams in terms of the second half, the way they kind of upped the game and then played it in their terms. But they really didn't show us maybe the best. So in many ways they're coming in here a small bit on the radar, as they kind of have been throughout the championship. No one has really been talking that much about Derry. Of course, also champions again. But in terms of actually winning Sam, there's not a lot of teams. Certainly, not a lot of team people were talking about Monaghan, but not talking about yourselves. And here you are, a game away from the final.
Yeah, no, and that is strange because you know you're back to back Ulster champions. Everything that Derry needed to do over the last sort of 36 months, they have done, and they've done convincingly. And when you look at the last number of games against the likes of Tyrone, you know, they were very convincing winners. I suppose, look, the question marks around Derry did maybe fairly or unfairly surround the Galway game last year and this year's National League final with Dublin, where it didn't go so well. And I suppose the criticism was, is Derry's game plan good enough for Croke Park against the better teams? And I think Derry have evolved this year. I think they're better. I think they have a better spread of scorers. They haven't been as reliant on Shane McGuigan. And like yesterday was the, you know, in other years, if Shane McGuigan has a poor day by his own standards, Derry don't win. Yesterday they did because some of the other players stepped up. And while a lot of them, you know, like really it was Gareth McInnes, it was Conor Glass, you know, Conor Doherty, you know, maybe in the second half, Brenton Rodgers. Short of that, like nobody else really had massive games, and yet Derry never looked any way like losing the game. And I know that uncomfortable period losing a goal, but straight away up the field the response was immediate, and the composure for Conor Doherty in the goal, not unlike O'Connor's goal versus Tyrone, and that's what probably set Derry apart this year, and they didn't panic.
Yeah, and that, you're right. Even at that point, I thought Cork were starting to cling on them a wee bit, and the game probably needed a goal. The answer was swift and very well taken. You mentioned, I suppose, we're looking at the change, Connie. You're looking, can they be better than the defeat to Galway last year when they get to that point? And you're, I suppose you're looking at the likes of McAvoy and Lachlan Murray coming on. Of course, McFaul is back. Do you think that dynamic, as well as do you see a bit of a different tactical dynamic? Of course, you have the whole situation of Kieran Meena in there now, and Rory Gallagher's departure. Is there a thing in there where you think that it'll be a different Derry in terms of being able to punch more holes when they get into that phase? Because if you look at Kerry, Connie, they're very streetwise now, coached and the way they're set up, and you've seen it be Dublin once they went full court defence, you know, they're as good a setup as any team, and then of course they've got the ability to break. So you're just wondering, can Derry, obviously it's going forward, you would have been thinking that they have to improve, but do you think, as you say, with McGuigan having a quiet game, there's loads of more options and loads of scores around the pitch, but they're certainly looking, I suppose, to keep the game very tight and in a low scoring kind of way. Would that be how you're feeling this game will go in the semi?
Yeah, look, I think coming into Kerry, Kerry got up for Tyrone in a way that they'll struggle to get up for Derry. That real, you can call it passion, you call it hatred, whatever you want. You know, the fact that Tyrone had their number a couple of years ago, that would have hurt Kerry, that would have hurt those players, and they were really up for Tyrone. And it was the first game they've really got up for all year. You know, they could come into this game a wee bit flat. Derry have got all the ammunition they need. You know, Kieran Mina has got all the ammunition he needs to really nail the players for the next 2 weeks because they didn't do themselves justice. But yet, they're in a semi-final, you know, under the radar, as you say, and didn't have to be any better than they need to be yesterday. And I think there is scope for movement. Yeah, I suppose, look, one of the things would be you know now exactly what Derry team's going to be in the semi-final bar they pick up an injury or two. And again, that leaves them probably a bit more easier to analyse. But they're going to need bigger games out of Niall Loughlin, you know, Niall Toner. You know, I thought Paul Cassidy and Ethan Doherty probably were the next better forwards yesterday. And McGuigan hasn't had two quiet games back-to-back in quite some time, and I don't think it'll happen then. But Kerry's a different animal. You know, David Clifford probably wasn't on his game, and yet that's all anybody's talking about. You know, with a couple of moments of magic, he was hitting the post, he was dropping them short. You know, he'll not do that again. So, you know, yeah. Derry will be up against it, but they really have nothing to lose here. They really can go at this, and it's a shot to nothing.
Mm. And you just mentioned, obviously, Clifford there. Is there someone in your ranks you think, you know, that can actually shut him down, or is it just a case of numbers trying to get around him? Because as you said, a bit like McGuigan, you know, he's the talisman, didn't have his best game from play, and you're thinking that can't happen again. But certainly Derry are good at shutting down players and trying to keep them out of the game. That's one of their high points of them, analysing opposition. Not that you need analysing McClifford. He is the standout player in the country. But certainly the way Derry play, they could make it difficult for Clifford to settle into the game.
Well, like Chrissy McCaig's going to pick him up, and with a player like Clifford, it's not about keeping him scoreless, because Chrissy's big thing would always be with keeping his man scoreless, and he would take real pride in that. And while that would be his ultimate ambition, you know, it doesn't happen to Clifford. So for me, it's a case of deciding, right, look, David Clifford's going to score half a dozen points anyway, even playing within himself. It's how they can stop everybody else around him, you know, when it's getting the other matchups right. You know, you have the likes of, you know, Owen McAvoy and Paul Geaney, you know, like in that half forward line. Gavin White, I thought, was exceptional against Tyrone. He was the fulcrum of all their attacks, breaking lines, you know, and like Paul Cassidy would be tailor-made for that. And then after that, Derry do have good options to match up, and they will get everybody back inside their own 65. The game that Tyrone allowed Kerry to play, Derry won't. There'll be no long ball kicked in. All the ball that Kerry will have to get will be handed off. So, but they'll prepare for that. They'll be working on, you know, a real packed defence for the next 2 weeks, and ultimately it'll be the team with the best skill set that'll come through, because Kerry can play it in any which way. But I think the longer Derry live in this game, that'll be their tactic. If they can get into the last quarter in the game, you know, they're in a real good shout, because they'll not give the ball away. And uncharacteristically against Cork on Sunday, they did things that they've never done in probably 18 months. They give away a ball in contact. They carried a bit of ball in. The passes just going astray. They'll be better the next day. And if Derry can take it into the last 15 minutes, they have a hell of a chance, because Kerry probably won't have prepared for that. They'll want to get Derry away early, because if they can get the lead, Derry have to come out, and that's what they'll be banking on. And Derry will want to keep the game as tight for as long as they can.
Well, you see from the weekend, that's a danger letting any of those sides into a lead. Conniff, yeah, you're more or less, it's almost game over. Conniff, just last thing about Derry, that kind of, I suppose you're in the county, the buzz that the senior team has brought now, and how we've had the change. I don't know any other county, I've never seen any change as big as the one for Derry to fall so far, to be up to where they're at now. Is there a real buzz around all the clubs and all the young ones really enjoying this run and these seasons, and all the I suppose excitement Derry's bringing?
Oh, there is, and it's right from the bottom up, because like Derry Mainers are back in another All-Ireland final. Derry under 20s got to the Ulster final and probably were the team tipped to win that. with aspirations to go a wee bit further. You know, so there's a huge momentum within Derry. You know, the school football is very strong. You know, the clubs that win those sort of competitions, once they go out into Ulster, Glen are Ulster club champions. There's a real momentum in Derry football. Everybody wants to play for Derry again. And that wasn't the case, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago, whenever they were maybe in Division 3 and Division 4. So, look, I think Derry have done a remarkable job in keeping everybody together. Like, there's nobody leaving the panel, really, other than players, maybe the old one dropping off, the likes of Anton Tuchel dropped off, lack of game time. You know, Emmett Bradley got Murray there, he dropped off. So, and like, realistically, all the players that they want playing for Derry are in that panel. Maybe Emmett Bradley aside, he'd be one player I think as an impact would be there. He's tall, he's rangy, you know, he can kick points from range. He'd be the one player that I think Derry probably could really use on the bench. But that aside, there's a real momentum. Everybody is there, wants to play for Derry. And look, they're at another semi-final with very little fuss. They've done everything they expected. They've came the traditional route. They've won their province. They topped their group, albeit unspectacularly. Mm. They went to Croke Park. They were very professional. They'd done their business. And now they're back in the semi-final. And look, you know, we travelled probably a bit more in hope than expectation. But, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Derry could slip into a final.
Yes, indeed. It will be some crack. Colin, tell me this. I was up at Healy Park a few weeks back. I was covering the Monaghan-Donegal game. And, you know, Donegal, who were just stabilising, listen, missing so much, and all the talk about injuries, retirements and management and turmoil. But they done the job in Monaghan and probably should have beat them by a lot more. Really, really played them off the park at times. You know, it was a remarkable performance from our lads. And here are Monaghan, you know, in an All-Ireland semi-final. Like, it's been a crazy season in terms of week on week. You know, at one stage earlier in the season, people were saying we could have a dream Galway-Mayo final. They were looking like the best two teams in Ireland. Well, talk about turnarounds, Conniff. It's been very hard to get your head around anything in terms of where teams is at. But these Monaghan lads, they just have something about them that they have a wee bit of never-say-die attitude. And, you know, getting through a real tough, tough encounter, low-scoring affair, you know, on penalties, and amazing to see them where they're at. And hats off to Vinnie Corey.
Big time. Like, and the one thing, and you talked it, Donegal had their signature win of the season. Every team has struggled with the navigation of the new system, because what was more advantageous? Winning your province, not winning your province, getting the extra break. You know, and you look at it and you're going, you thought Mayo would be better for the experience of having time off after the Roscommon defeat. Didn't work like that. But to go back to Monaghan, like, realistically, Vinnie Corey was late coming into the job. Job he probably was a year or two too early for. There was nobody else putting their hand up. He took it. He brought his brother Martin with him, who is absolute genius. I'll be a huge fan of his brother Martin's. And like, there's only 65,000 people in Monaghan. You know, you compare that to 1.4, 1.5 million people. You know, there's a small number of clubs in Monaghan. And they, again, and they always get this thrown at them. I'm sure they hate it, but they do play way above their weight. You know, like, they're incredible. They're squeezing everything they can out of their squad all the time. You know, you look at Darren Hughes. You know, like, Darren Hughes has been on top of his game now for the best part of 14, 15 seasons. And that's before you talk about Conor McManus, what he was able to do coming off the bench. His very first touch of the ball, he won a free. Then he got punched on the nose. He stepped up into a really difficult breeze from 42, 43 metres. And he just threw it out to the right and it came in. And maybe outside of Shawnee O'Shea, there probably was nobody else that could hit that score in Croke Park at the weekend. So, look, I think what Monaghan do is magic. But it's coming to play Dublin, who are just getting to the peak of their power. It was probably Dublin's strongest starting team, and it was definitely the strongest finishing team. Whenever they could bring on, you know, the Dean Rocks and Kieran Kilkenny's, McCaffrey. Jack McCaffrey's, there's just a richness of players that have won all earns. They know what it takes. And then the big advantage is they're playing every game now at home, and that's worth 2 or 3 points for them all the time.
Yeah, it's frightening. Conley, Monaghan, you know, being the Ulster man, they're the most, I suppose, club-like County because of that size and that. And you're right, they don't want people bringing that up to them, but they certainly, would you say they're the most, I know there's a big bond being created by the Derry lads there, but success sometimes can create that as well. But there's always, you always get this feel with Monaghan, they're kind of like a club team.
You do, and look, and every year, as well as over the last four or five, you know, as far back as that, you're wondering, you know, was it Darren Hughes' last year? You know, like Vinnie Curry played on to the very end. You know, Conor McManus, you know, was well within his rights to retire too, but they don't want to. Mm. They want to keep giving their all for Monaghan. And again, that's testament to probably everything from the county board to the management to the structures of their league. You know, they're a very interesting league system where the points are weighted before the county players play till the county players come back. And that means there's no pressure on county players to be sort of pulled club v county whenever it comes to promotions and relegations and stuff. So I think as a county, they organise themselves very, very well. And I think everything feeds into making sure that the county teams can be the best they can be. And you look at them now, they're back in a minor All-Ireland final as well. So there's serious momentum. And if you look at who the All-Ireland minor semi-finalists were, Kerry and Derry, Meath and Dublin, you know, and Derry beat Kerry in the minors and Derry beat me, Dublin in the minors, and Monaghan beat Kerry. So look, who's to say that couldn't happen again and make it a Monaghan Derry final? But look, that would take some doing because the form of the other two teams in, it's very hard to look past them.
Yeah. God, just a word in Armagh, there seems to be a thing running all season about they're not going for games enough. You would think, looking at squad on squad, they probably have more ability maybe to punch holes and physical and direct ball, and they look like they have a lot of players can cause a lot of problems, but it doesn't seem to happen. And they want to maybe win a game by a point, which almost worked with Rian O'Neill's brilliant kick, but then, as you said, the brilliance of McManus to come up and answer that. Is it a question of, never mind the harshness of penalties, but you know, Armagh not going for the game themselves?
Yeah, look, and there's loads of things you could say. Are they unlucky? They absolutely are. You know, like the shoulder to shoulder on Conor Turbitt, you know, the referee had deemed it to be a head injury, so he was right to stop it. But it was shoulder to shoulder. It probably, in other games, it could have been a free in, you know, and that changed the dynamic of the game as well. So they are unlucky, but I suppose they probably were in a situation very similar to Ulster final. They went to extra time. They had an extra man for the first 7 minutes of it and probably didn't make a count. And, you know, for me, that's player-led. You know, and like Shane McGinney will take a lot of the blame and the management will take a lot of the blame. But some, when you get into extra time, you know, players have to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. And Rian O'Neill did, but probably not enough with them. And if you look at that in contrast to Monaghan, you know, they got their free to level it up. They played to their strengths. There's more in this Armagh team. You just look at them and they just look like they're about to click or they're just about to cut loose, and then there's something holding them back. And I suppose they've had some really difficult defeats, the mental scars of losing after extra time, losing after penalties, and the winner on the day probably hasn't suited them. Had they had a second chance against Galway last year, second chance against Derry this year, a second chance against Monaghan, you know, the new system probably didn't suit them great. But like, they have some fantastic footballers. You know, when you watch, you know, Turbitt, like Murnan has been one of my favourite players to watch this year. He has punched over 4 points right under the crossbar on top of a goalie. You know, and it's something obviously they've worked on, but he just does so many things well. And there's just something about our man. It's very hard to put your finger on. If it was easy, they would be there by now. But there is just something missing, something lacking. It's very, very hard to put your finger on it. But like, they do bring so much to the championship. Their supporters are just bonkers, you know. They would have, they're filling out venues on their own and making the noise, and you know, they're very, very good. And look, they probably deserved a wee bit more, but unfortunately at the sharp edge of it, if you don't take your chances, you know, like on the 58th minute they had a goal chance and they fluffed it. If it goes in, they see the game out probably and they manage it well, because that would have put them 5 up. They didn't score that, it went right down the field, point over, the next one was an equaliser. And then the league just ebbed and flowed right to the end.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, you're right about the supporters. I was calling them the Mayo of Ulster at one stage. Maybe they won't like that comparison, Conley. Listen, I'd appreciate you taking the time to wrap up that weekend's action as ever, lad. And I'll speak to you as the summer rolls on.
No bother at all. Thanks, Dave.
Top man, Connie's Gilligan there. Yes, indeed. That was Urquhart Leith. Thanks so much for rounding that up. Allowed himself and Kieran Whelan. Great stuff there. Thanks to Moore Donald earlier in the show as well. And of course, my man Kevin Fury here for producing, head of sport, Oisin Kelly. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions and the legends that are Jimmy and Paul. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.